Blog Talk Radio. Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to your place. There are sermons that are so needed for what the church is facing at specific times. Not saying a message is not timeless, but Wild Bill has listened to this sermon from Kenneth Carpenter four times before deciding that it was to be our show tonight. Like many, we know that revival is starting right now in preparation of the returning of Jesus for his bride. We feel that we are just seeing the tip of the iceberg of what Bill feels is going to be the biggest revival known to this world. The division between the on-fire saint of God and the one that is just lukewarm is going to grow as people make up their minds to let the revival start within them as the wonder-working manifold power of the Holy Ghost is made manifest through the church. This sermon is not only anointed, but it is a call to make note of the obvious things of God being made clear by the great falling away from God of this country. As always, we open up the mics at the end of the show for comments and questions. Just push the number one on your phone and I'll identify you by the last four digits on your phone, of your phone number when I place you on the air. And we encourage you to share this show with this message to all of your friends. And now let's have a listen.
If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of John this evening, chapter number 14. We're going to begin reading verse number 1, John chapter 1, John chapter 14, verse number 1. I'm going to read 10 verses. I want you to really pay close attention to this conversation that the Lord has. John 14 and 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither or where I go, ye know. And the way, ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither or where thou goest. How can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you have known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. How sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Turn over to the Old Testament. The average Christmas card has this, Isaiah 9 and 6. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse number 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of peace. If you have a prayer tonight, prayer request, just slip your hand up in the air right now. Just slip your hand up. Remember to pray for Sister Aurora Stevens. Mother Tharp, I want to give a praise report. Many of you are concerned about her. She thought she had a heart attack. They've confirmed no heart attack, and we're so thankful. Brother Phil, Sister Rita, we're so thankful. Amen. Go ahead. I heard that. We're so thankful. Sister Kim Claiborne's father needs a touch. And our own Brother Steve Sanderson, his mother is clinging for life in a hospital in Mississippi. And would you please remember them tonight? Let's just lift our hands right now and pray. Father, you know the needs of this church. God, you know all the requests, God, that have been texted to my phone. Lord, the requests, God, that have been sent to this church. God, the requests that I read today by email, God. Lord, Brother Randy Newcomer, Lord, do a miracle work in his blood. God, Brother Randy needs a touch. Brother Newcomer needs a touch, God, in his blood. Lord, touch Brother Newcomer tonight, God. Lord, move upon him, Lord, with a healing power. God, we bring these needs before you tonight. You are the prayer-answering God. Lord, you are the healer of all healers tonight. God, I ask you to anoint my lips of clay that I would speak the word tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Give the Lord a hand of praise as you're being seated right now. I want to minister tonight on this subject. I want to minister on overlooking the obvious. Overlooking the obvious. If you want to help me tonight, you can be a little transparent with what I'm about to ask you. Is there any of you ever went looking for your glasses? Finish it for me. I won't tell you his name, but has any of you ever done what a preacher that I know very closely wound up in the lobby of a hospital with a coat hanger in his hand, realizing that when he got out of the car, he left his jacket in the car and took the coat hanger with him? I mean, has any of you got stories you can stand and tell tonight about looking for something? I think the old sayings that we say things like, if it had been a snake, it would have, plain as the, yeah, just kind of overlooking the obvious. You know, they did that in Jesus' day. They did that in his day. Jesus, about the majority of the book of John, if you study out the book of John, the majority of the book of John is covering about the last 10 days of the life of Jesus Christ. You'll notice as you get to the chapters 11 and 12, it just about turns red for the rest of the book because it deals with the final week of Jesus' life. He began to prepare the disciples for the days ahead. He knew that they would be greatly wounded because they had of their own company a one named Judas. And Jesus would speak to them about the betrayer is here on the table with me. The one that will betray me is seated at this table. He spoke words to them. He spoke words to them like, all of you are going to be offended at me. And all of you are going to scatter. And he began to just simply tell them about the days to come. Their attitudes and their spirits sank as he was telling them, one of you will betray me. All of you will forsake me. Smite the shepherd and the sheep shall be scattered. Their hearts sank so low until when he turns in John 14, he has to kind of pick them up a little bit, and he says, but don't let your hearts be troubled. If you believe in what you cannot see, God, then believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go away to prepare a place for you. And what he was actually meaning there is, I'm going away to have a seat for a mediator. Man does not have a mediator at this time in heaven, but I'm going away to be that mediator for you. I'm going away to be that mediator between you and God. If I go away, and he's comforting him, if I go away, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. You know where I'm going, and you know the way. Thank God for Thomas. The rest may want to sit silent, but Thomas breaks the silence, and Thomas says, first off, we don't know where you're going. And if we don't know where you're going, how would we possibly know the pathway or the way to get to where you're going? Well, Thomas, I am the way. I am the truth. And I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. From henceforth, verse 7, from henceforth you have known him and have seen him. It's as if Jesus is saying, have you all overlooked the obvious? Have I been with you and you've overlooked the obvious? I am the way. I am the truth. I am the light. He that has seen me has seen my Father. How sayest thou, show us the Father? Well, now Philip breaks the silence. Philip breaks the silence, and Philip says to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Now, this is an interesting word, this word sufficeth, because this word not only means to be satisfied, but it also means to be protected. It really means the raising of a protective barrier. It means a bar that has been raised for the purpose of protecting. He said, Lord, if you will show us the Father, we will be protected. We will be satisfied or suffice. It was then that Jesus addresses my subject tonight. Philip, have I been so long time with you? Have I been so long time with you, Philip, that you don't know me? You don't know me. Have I been so long time with me, yet thou hast not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. How sayest thou then, show us the Father? Philip, have you been walking with me this whole time and you've not understood the obvious? Philip, who did you think I was when I took jars of water and turned them into the best wine? Philip, who did you think I was when that demon-possessed man cried out and I commanded the demonic spirits to leave him, and he was in his right mind, clothed and at the feet of Jesus? Philip, who did you think I was, Philip? Who did you think I was, Philip, when I gave the blind man his sight, when I gave the deaf man his hearing? Philip, who did you think I was when I caused the fig tree to wither? Philip, have you overlooked the obvious? The next question could have been in John chapter 6, verse number 4. John chapter 6 and verse number 4. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company coming to him, he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove Philip, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here that hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, but what are they among so many? Can I ask you something tonight? I see in Philip a tendency to look on the natural to base his faith. Jesus specifically, knowing that there was no natural way to feed a multitude in the desert, he asked specifically, Philip, what are we going to do? How are we going to feed these? And this, the Bible said, he wanted to prove Philip. I want to see what is in your mind, Philip. Philip naturally goes to the natural, and he lists an amount of bread in the natural. He says, if we had this amount of bread, it would not be sufficient to give each person of this multitude just a morsel of bread, if we gave them just a little. And there we see where a lot of times we miss God, the obvious, because we're always writing the end of how our stories will be. But it was Andrew. It was Andrew that brought up the subject of a little lad's lunch. It was Andrew that stepped in the midst. It was Andrew that stepped in the midst and said, well, Jesus, I know there's a little lad here. You know, anytime you begin to trust in God, you got to get rid of your pride, because a lot of times it's pride that keeps us from stepping out on faith. It's pride that keeps us silent when we ought to lift up our hands and praise God. Andrew overcame the fact that if I bring up a little lad's lunch in the midst of thousands of hungry people, somebody might laugh at me. Somebody may make a derogatory remark about me. But many times we never partake of the miraculous when we're too concerned with what other people will say or think about us. It was Andrew that brought the little lad's lunch to Jesus. It was Andrew that saw the miracle happen. Philip, how is it that you ask to show us the Father? Which miracle didn't you understand came from the Father? The miracles that I do, the works that I do not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Philip, how could you overlook the obvious? Philip, how could you walk with me for 3.5 years and not understand that I'm not just a good teacher? I'm not just somebody to hang out with the club. I'm just not a good social gathering that you're comfortable with. Philip, how long is it going to take for you to realize the obvious? I am God. I think sometimes we come to church for a social gathering, and that's one of the big chores when the church starts growing, is to keep this place from being a social hour. When people just go for their fellowship and they just go for their entertainment, this is not a house of entertainment. This is not a house of social interaction, that we believe the same doctrine, therefore we get together. It's a place where Almighty God dwells. And where Almighty God dwells, I wish somebody would shout, anything. Anything can happen. Philip, have I been so long time with you? Have you overlooked the obvious that is here? The second book of Kings, chapter 13, verse number 14. It says, now Elisha was fallen sick of his sickness whereof he died. Now you understand that Elisha in his day had been a powerful prophet. And let me tell you, even though he's an old man and he's sick and weak, he's still a powerful prophet. Don't ever judge God by the age you are, or by the age of the church. He's a powerful man of God, but he's weak in his body. He's sickly. And this sickness he's going to die from. Joash, the king of Israel, came down unto him and wept over his face and said, oh, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And Elisha said unto him, take bow and arrow. He took unto him bow and arrow. And he said to the king of Israel, put thine hand upon the bow. And he put his hand upon it. And Elisha put his hands upon the king's hands. And he said, open the window eastward. And he opened it. Then Elisha said, shoot. And he shot. And he said, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance and the arrow of deliverance from Syria. For thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek till thou hast consumed them. He said, take the arrows, and he took them, and he said unto the king of Israel, smite the ground, and he smote it thrice and stayed. The man of God was wroth with him and said, thou shouldest have smitten five or six times, then hadst thou smitten Syria till thou hast consumed it, whereas now thou shalt smite Syria but thrice. Now I want to tell you something. It is wonderful to pay respect for what has blessed you, but don't ever leave your respect at that. The God that we serve is not only a God that deserves respect, but he is a God that can meet every need that you and I have. Joash went to him to pay respect. Joash, this young, vibrant king, went to him to pay him respect. And he said, my father, the chariots of Israel and the horsemen thereof. In Joash's mind, he was saying, you're the defense of Israel, or you were the defense of Israel. You were the strength, the armies of Israel. Oh, in your day, Elisha. In your day, Elisha, you were our strength in your day. And then that old, sick, weak Elisha begins to give instruction. Can I tell you something tonight? Some of you are looking for an answer, but you're missing the obvious. Many times the answer comes right across this pulpit every Wednesday and Sunday morning and Sunday night. Some of you are looking for the answers. You're scrolling through Facebook. You're doing all of these things, looking, trying to find the right poem, trying to find the right stuff in life, the right people to connect with, while all of a sudden, stretched across this platform is a group of singers and worshipers that are trying to tell you that your answer is in praise and it is in worship. Do not overlook the obvious, because it doesn't look like you think it should. The old weak prophet told Joash to get a bow and arrow. Joash got a bow and arrow. The old weak prophet gave him direction. The old weak prophet told him to open the window. The old weak prophet put his hands. The old weak prophet couldn't pull the bow back, but the young man could. But the weak prophet could give direction. He told the young man to shoot the arrow, and he shot the arrow. And then the weak prophet prophesied and said, this is your deliverance over Syria. This is your deliverance over life. This is the arrow of the Lord's deliverance. That old weak prophet was telling that young man, don't overlook the obvious. I know you've come to give me respect. I know that you see me as the foundation of Israel, but I am more than just something you are to pity and something that you are to give respect. I can give you direction for your deliverance. I can tell you how to order your steps in the Lord. I can tell you how to raise your family. I can tell you how to be a mighty witness for God if you'll just listen to the old prophet, that old prophet. He said, took the arrow. And he said, up to this point, my hand has been upon the backs of your hands. Up to this point, I have given you direction. But I'm about to give you an order that I have no control over. How you respond to this, I have no control over. I want you to take the Lord's arrow of deliverance, and I want you to beat the ground with it. This beating of the ground with an arrow was a symbol of enthusiasm as you go to war. The soldiers would beat the ground with their arrow. It was kind of a pep rally before a ball game. It was beating the ground with the arrow to rev up their courage and to say how they were going to fight. And the Bible says when that young man got the arrow that he simply smote or tapped the ground three times. Upon the third time, the old prophet became very disturbed because he saw the lack of enthusiasm when he had given the young prophet the victory. He had given the young prophet what he needed. If there is something today that I could preach to the church, we shall never lose our enthusiasm for the worship of Jehovah God. May we never lose our enthusiasm for the things of God. Hey, I know the church is 2,000 years old. She has suffered a lot of criticism. She is outdated and she is not in step with the time. But she is still the greatest vessel that you could ever be in all of your life. Can I tell you that the church at its worst is better than the world at its very best? Somebody give him praise right now. I said, somebody give him praise right now. Oh, somebody give him some praise right now in this house. I love our new praise and worship songs. I love our new praise and worship songs. I love all the songs that are mellow and get us into a frame of mind to worship God. But can I tell you tonight, if that choir song, Let Me Tell You Who Jesus Is, ever becomes an outdated song that we don't want to sing, we will lose the power and the anointing of the Almighty God. Our songs are not the religious world songs. We may borrow some of those songs to enter worship, but they're not our doctrine song. Let me tell you who Jesus is. He is the rock of all ages. Let me tell you who Jesus is. If we ever get to the place to where our palate, if we ever get to the place to where our palate cannot stand that song, I'm going down to the river. I'm going to be buried alive. I'm going to show my heavenly Father the man that I used to be has finally died. When I think of where I've come from and I think of where I'm going, it makes me glad to know, my friend, I've been born again. Anytime silence baptizes the church, when we begin to sing those songs, we are respecting the foundation, but we're not worshiping on the foundation. Somebody give him praise tonight. You know why we don't have complete victory? It's because we don't have complete enthusiasm. I'm not against deer hunting, golfing, or Little League, or basketball, or none of that. But you are a hypocrite if your emotions can get stirred out there in this gym on a basketball court, but they can't get stirred. You are a hypocrite. You are a hypocrite. If you can get stirred up over a silly little basketball game or volleyball game, but you'll come in here and yawn your life away and scroll your life away, my God, we need to get excited over what we got. Daddies, you ought to worship God. You don't have a money problem, you got a worship problem. You don't have marital problems, you got worship problems. Well, we need to hear. I'm talking about the obvious tonight. We need to hear more marriage counseling in our church. No, we don't. You don't have marital issues. You've got worship issues. You'd get excited about your worship. God work a lot of that stuff out in your marriage. My kids won't obey me. My kids, I don't have any peace at home. You know why you don't have any peace at home? Dad, them kids would probably like to see you worship. I am the additive. Don't look at me and say, raise my kids, Brother Carpenter. I can't fix with 4 hours a week what you got hundreds of hours to mess up. I got to have you on my side. We got to be together in this. This ain't some little old tapping around, little old yawning, little old yawn. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. We need some people to say, my God, this is my victory. This is my victory. I'm gonna wear the ground out with this. Come on, praise him tonight. You should have smitten the ground. You should have smitten the ground 5 or 6 times. But because you did it only thrice, you're going to have partial victory. Because we only smite worship a few times and we're not consistent with our worship, we have partial victory. We have victory a little bit here and victory a little bit there as the whole things fall apart. He said, you should have wore it out. And that's just something. That's just something. Years ago, God delivered me from this, and I'm so glad he did, because it was a burden I wasn't meant to carry. When I used to sit on the platform, I felt it was my job to, if you didn't worship, I was going to intimidate you to worship. Buddy, that was a load that I'm glad I got delivered from. Because when I hand you worship, that's one thing I can't respond for you. If I could respond for you, God wouldn't have accepted, because you're only doing it because I'm telling you to do it. If the only time somebody runs around here is when I tell them to run, the only time you lift your hands is when somebody tells you to lift your hands. You see, we can tell you worship is good, but we have to hand the arrow to you and say, now, it's up to you. What do you think about it? I'm telling you, if you will worship, God will work it out. If you will worship, God will work it out. Well, for time's sake, let me go on. No, I'm not going to go on. Verse 20. And Elisha died, and they buried him. You say, well, why are you going with that? Because you've got a miracle that should be yours. But if you don't show the proper enthusiasm, God will take that miracle to the grave. Elisha had one more miracle in him. I personally believe that one more miracle went to Joash, but he forfeited that miracle with the lack of enthusiasm. I ask you tonight, how many miracles have you forfeited because you've simply not given God everything you've got every time you come to the house of the Lord? I wonder how many miracles, I wonder how many marriages could have been spared, but somehow they didn't take the arrows. They looked at worship through the 21st century cynicism of, well, that was good for you, but it's not good for me. Let me tell you something. If Brother and Sister Carpenter have a good marriage, it's because we're good worshipers. It's because we're good worshipers. Good. Elisha died and they buried him. And the band of the Moabites invaded the land at the coming in of the year, verse 21. And it came to pass, as they were burying a man, that behold, they spied a band of men, and they cast the man into the sepulcher of Elisha. And when the man was let down and touched the bones of Elisha, the structure of Elisha, he revived and stood up on his feet. You see that? They buried old Elisha with one more miracle in him. One miracle that an enthusiastic worshiper of Yahweh should have received. But because he would not worship, God allowed a complete dead stranger to receive that last miracle. And he stood up. Don't know about you. There's enough miracles for strangers. But I don't want a stranger to get my miracle. I'm going to worship him with all my heart tonight. Come on, with all my soul tonight. Come on, could you lift your hands? I hand you the arrow right now. Could you begin to smite the ground with your worship? Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Come on, weary housewife. Your victory is in your worship. Come on, delusioned husband. Your victory is in your worship tonight. Your trouble and deliverance is in your worship tonight. My God, my God, my God, yes, 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 yes. Yes, yes, ah, yes. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Holy Ghost, have your way tonight. Hallelujah. It's the obvious. It's the obvious. It's the obvious. You've got it. You've got a voice you can raise. You've got hands you can clap. You've got a mind to articulate. I love you, God. I need you, God. I got to have your help, God. Let me tell you tonight as your pastor. Let me tell you as your pastor tonight. Worship will answer any problem in your life. If you have fallen victim to this godless, perverted generation, and you're a young man and you feel like you don't identify as a young man, and you're a woman and you feel like you don't identify as a woman, you don't need a shrink. You need worship. But I gotta find out what makes me tick. You don't need that. You need to get in worship. You need to get in praise. You need to get in worship. He'll deliver you from any and all of your hang-ups if you will worship. We're going to teach you. If you're an addict, we're going to teach you about life skills. But until you learn how to worship, there'll be no deliverance. You've got to worship. Don't overlook the obvious. My God of heaven, Jesus, don't overlook. I'm not giving you permission for this. I'm just telling you, if you have to be cynical and critical, do it over politics. If you have to be cynical and critical, turn Fox or CNN on and have at it. But can I tell you something? Woe be to the person that becomes cynical about the church. Well, I just don't believe in organized religion. Hey, I'm going to the football game. Oh, you don't believe in organized religion, but you believe in organized sports. Well, ain't no man going to tell me what to do. Oh, is that right? You're going to go to a doctor? He's going to walk into a room and address your clothing. He's going to say, take your clothes off. You ain't going to say, do I have to get better? Do I have to do this to get better? No, you just tiptoe in there, strip yourself in front of a man you barely know. He'll say, you get up on a cold steel table, stick out your tongue. You'll do any of that. But when it comes to church, we can develop a cynical spirit. Well, they're just there because of this. They're there to be seen. They're just there to be seen. Oh, I don't really like going to church. That choir's just there to be seen. Hey, are you going to carpool with me to the Grand Ole Opry? You know I got you treed tonight. Oh, we're going to Vince Gill, and I'm just pulling these names out. They're all going to be over here. All of them sound like they sing out their nose to me. Many years ago, I saw something for the first time. Evidently, it was a concert. As in a restaurant, and this country singer must have been singing in Knoxville because there was a bunch of his fans come in. And I noticed that every one of them had a belt on, and it was like the poor little fellas bought belts that was too long for them because about a foot of their belt dripped down the side of their leg. And I thought, man, these poor guys couldn't afford either that or they've lost a lot of weight or something, man, they come in here. And I come to find out that their singer that they idolize, he wears his belt that way. He wears his hat that way. So it's all right for your children to mimic the entertainers of this godless culture. But don't let them get into church. We had a person one time, two little girls started attending church here, got the Holy Ghost. They got the Holy Ghost, they wanted to get in the choir. They lined up to the choir handbook and got in the choir, only to have an irate parent to call and tell me they felt like it was a cult. They said, I just feel like that it was a cult. Now, that parent had no problem with those little girls wearing Daisy Duke shorts and halter tops. Those parents had no problem with them little girls having more skin exposed than they had clothing. They had no problem. But something gets messed up when a little girl gets in church and she looks around at some of these godly women and some of these godly men on the pew and say, I'd like to have a suit like that. I'd like to part my hair like that. I'd like to have a dress like that. I'd like to comb my hair like that. Come on, folks. The church is the best thing going. Don't overlook the obvious. Come on, don't overlook the obvious. Come on, praise him right now with me. Come on, praise him right now. Don't overlook the obvious. Luke 15:11. And he said, a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. There wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land. And he began to be in want. He went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would have fain, having filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave to him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. He arose, came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, the father saw him, had compassion on him, ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. Let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found, and they begin to be merry. Can I tell you something? Nobody leaves the church in their right mind. Can you get hurt in the church? Absolutely. Are there hypocrites in the church? Oh, they abound. The larger we get, the more they're here. But there's no hypocrite nor hurt that justifies you leaving the Father's house. And if you're ever going to overcome your hurt, stay right where you're at. Keep coming right back to the house of God. I know they didn't shake your hand. I know they talked about you. I know they backstabbed you. I know you thought they were their friends. But don't pay them back by backsliding. For God's sake, don't do that. Stay in the church. Young man, what got into you? Young man, what made you think there was something out there that you were missing on, that you were missing? Young man, young lady, listen to me tonight. Look at some of these people coming to this church. Look at some of these people that are coming back to God. Look at some of these men and women that got off the path and went out in the world and did their thing. Look at them coming back. We shouldn't have one young man in this youth group looking Google-eyed thinking there's something out there in the world. There shouldn't be one young woman in our youth group, Brother Hammond, that's looking at the world, magazines, entertainment, whatever it is, and thinking, I'm missing out on being in here. You sure are missing out. You're missing out on getting pregnant before you're married. You're missing out on getting a man that'll be loyal to you. You're missing out on having a foundation in your life that you can build your life upon. That's what you're missing out on. You're going to have trouble. And when the suicide thoughts come to you, you're going to say no, no, 1,000 times no. Yeah, you're missing out. You're missing out. You're missing out. I don't have her permission to tell this. I may get her permission and tell it in another service. But all of this body art and all this stuff, they're going and wanting to put all this tattoos and piercings all around. My wife and I sat today and talked to a beautiful young woman that went out into the world and did all of that. And now she sat in her office today and she's saying, I'm going to go get this stuff removed off me. I've taken all these piercings out. What is she saying? She is saying, I overlook the obvious. It's not out in the world. I'm going to preach this till I get it out of my soul. It's not out in the world. Why are you sitting on your hands? Why are you scrolling through your phone tonight? Why are you here passing time? Worship! 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 Worship God! Worship tonight! Worship! I can't do it for you. I can just tell you to worship. I can just tell you to worship. Worship. Gender identity, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus Christ. You demonic devil from hell, I stand over this youth group and I rebuke you in the name. Come on, I can rebuke it, but you gotta worship. I can rebuke it, but you gotta worship. I can rebuke the spirit, but you've got to worship the Holy Spirit. I can rebuke the demon, but you've got to worship deity. Worship. 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 I am the watchman on the wall. I can rebuke spirits of perversion that want to come to this church, but my rebuking alone will not do the job. As I rebuke demons, you have to worship deity. Glory to God. Glory to God. Musicians, would you come? The obvious. Please don't get critical and cynical of the church. God, whatever you do, mighty God, whatever you do, be critical of politicians. Be critical of Washington, regardless of who's in office. Be critical of that. But please don't be cynical to the church. Luke chapter 16 and verse 19. I want to tell you tonight that this is no parable. This is not a parable. This is a real event that happened. The reason I know it's not a parable, when Jesus spoke parables, he never used names. But there is the name of a person mentioned in this story. His name is Lazarus. The name Lazarus means Jehovah's help. Jehovah's help. Verse 19 of chapter 16. There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores. And you say, Pastor Carpenter, why is it that the rich man has no name, but Lazarus does? It's because Lazarus knows the Lord. And when you know the Lord, you have a name. But when you don't know the Lord, you have no name. Depart from me, you don't have a name. All you have is a helper that I have given you. All you have, rich man, is a helper, Lazarus. I've laid him at your gate. That means easily accessible. I laid him to where it was easy for you to get to him and he to get to you. He came just desiring interaction. Just a little interaction. He came just desiring some bread. desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. Who's back out at my gate? Oh, boy. It's Lazarus again. Oh, fun boy. Turn the critical dogs loose on him. Turn the critical spirit loose on him. It's church time again. Who is that? Oh, that's Brother Carpenter. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. I hope he don't preach too long. Oh, boy, that guy, it's loud. I hope he's not loud tonight. We got guests here. And I just hope he don't go off his script and start talking about it. I just wish he would be a little more polished. I just wish that he would be more like the TV preachers that make me feel fuzzy and good. You better pray to God that you never have someone you call your pastor that studies a sermon to make you feel good. You better pray to your God. You better pray to your God that you never get a pastor that's more concerned with how much you put in the plate than whether or not you're going to make it to heaven or not. You better pray to God. I mean it. We've got to make it, church. We've got to make it. We've got to make it. Send the dogs after him. Send the critical spirit after him. Oh, looks like he's got a new pair of shoes on. Wonder how much they cost. Looks like he's got a new suit on. Wonder how much that is. Oh, did you check out? He got a new car? Y'all don't have this happen to you, but I do. I'll get a new car every now and then, and then somebody feels like they need to go run the model on it to see how much I paid for it. Man, don't you have better things to do in life? But you see, when you get a critical spirit, the man that does open heart surgery on you, I wonder if you go run his plates and see how much he paid for his car. The lawyer that steps in and takes your little girl, your little boy's case, or your little girl's case, and keeps them from pulling 10 years in the pen, I wonder if you run his tags and see what he paid. Please don't ever let that spirit invade your life. Don't ever let that spirit. More of the dogs came and licked his sores. Came to pass that the beggar died, was carried by angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. He seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father, here's the tragic. Do you know who the rich man is? Do you know who he is? He's a backslidden Jew. He was a Jew boy that was brought up in the synagogues. He was a Jew boy that was brought up right. But money got a hold of him. And he turned away from the things. The rabbis, he became cynical of them. The law was too straight for him. He amasses wealth unbelievable. Watch the interaction. He lift up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried, are you seeing this? He cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send God's help to me, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, rememberest thou that in thy lifetime thou receivest good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things? But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. Besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. I'm sorry, rich man. You missed your opportunity. Because in hell, the Bible says, not the worm, but their worm, their worm. It says, we'll quote it saying, hell, the worm dieth not. It doesn't say the worm. It says, their worm will not die. And the best way they had of describing what a human brain looked like was that it looked like a glob of worms. And what he's actually saying, in hell, your memory of this night and thousands like it will be etched in your mind. Why was I cynical? Why did I allow that spirit to get in me? Why could I give all my enthusiasm to a deer stand, a golf club, a basketball game, but when it come to worship, I wanted to. There were times I wanted to lift my hands and say, Jesus, I love you, but my friend was here and my other friend was there, and what would somebody think? There was times I wanted to run to the altar. What would somebody say or think? Can I tell you tonight, don't overlook the obvious. You will never be happy in the world. So why don't you come to God tonight? Why don't you come to God tonight? Come on, stand with me. Why don't you come to God right now? Stop running. Stop running. Come on, church, help me pray. Stop running. Stop running. Stop what you're doing. You already know that it's not helping you any. You already know you're digging deeper as you go. Stop running. The altar's open right now. The altar's open for you right now. Sir, step out of your pew right now. Come on, step out of your pew right now. Make your way to this altar right now.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that. That was Brother Kenneth Carpenter from Maryville Church in Maryville, Tennessee. Blog Talk Mom?
Yes. Yes, thank you, Sister Stahl and Ma Bill, for this particular sermon. Has always, I seemed like way back when I first got in church, and I read it, and then I heard, you know, preachers preach about that. It looks so bad. You know, here's this man begging, and he's hungry, and he's got sores on him, and but then the other man's rich, you know. And but that really stood out to me, that we get our eyes, our thoughts, our plans, our goals in the wrong place, because, you know, we don't know what we're going to go through, and we do all go, we know history. But in the forever, we can't lose. And on the other side, weeping, wailing, gnashing of teeth, the worm dieth not, that is so descriptive. It doesn't leave any room at all for any question at all. It's just a choice. Am I going to do it or am I not? Am I going to be the one that's in hell, or am I going to be the one? And it's a choice. And it would always leave me with not really, I didn't feel afraid, but it was just really clear. It just, it removed all of my thing right in the exact place. And it gave me an incentive all my life. Every time I'd hear it, I think, no, I'm not what, comparing myself to other people and talents, abilities, all of that, you know. But if you have God, you've got it all. And then somehow that was one of the four different things that God quickened me when I would hear, and that was give, take care, work to help the elderly, the sick, those that are maybe going through some type of recovery from addictions, and children from families that are all scattered every which way. So much out of that. Today a situation happened, and I thought, wow, I don't know what they got out of that, but I I just feel wonderful. And the fact the Lord gave me that, and I know a lot of people do not approve of the rap, but that the Lord gave me, but it has opened every door to share the Word of God. And if they ever listen to it, they're going to know, what does the Word say? They'll hear the Scripture, and I'm just so thankful that God would give me something that I could use like that. And He's so good. He's on our side. I mean, He's on everything. This was just over the top. I really, really needed to hear it exactly like that. Because, too, you know, when I'm talking too much, but when you think about Jesus was here on this earth, He was doing miracles that, I mean, we can't even hardly comprehend. Loaves and fish and feeding 20,000 and blinded eyes, just people with that one man with a legion of demons set free. All of those types of things, but He is God. And we right now can miss that one thing that makes everything else just a religion or feeling or whatever. But He's God, and He's present with us at all times and working all things for our good. Well, we have so many beautiful scriptures that tell us that. So anyway, I want to slow down. I'm hoping while Bill and you would have something else to say for sure.
Well, Bill isn't with us yet, so you can continue.
Yeah, well, I do have other things I would like to share about those particular scriptures. We have a revival spirit moving, and it's reaching out. Our ACTS class, or that's recovery, but we started with calling it the ACT class, and it's just, there's no real rules. I mean, they get to come together, we get to witness to people that are just getting out of jail, or maybe that this one gentleman's supposed to come tomorrow, he's just never found a church. He doesn't know what to do. And when we discussed the recovery class was, he came back just a few minutes and said, I'm going to be there. And then I called. He gave me his phone number. It was the gentleman that was working where y'all stayed. And he definitely is going to be there tomorrow night, he said. So people they're listening. And when I share the rap, the idea and the scriptures with people of all denominations and in all their teachers, their workers, their doctors, they all are there hearing it as from God. And so I'm saying that to not rag on myself, but to say for everyone that's listening, for everyone that hears this message, we have, every one of us, we're the salt and light of this world. And we must believe that and worship God and be thankful. You know, if you worship the Lord, and we as Pentecostals certainly know that, it you pray through. You know, there'd be a cloud of depression, sickness, financial problems, job situations. But when you get in the presence of God and you begin to thank Him, and I mean there's all kinds of things we can thank Him for, then we feel like it's just like the clouds go away and the light comes through from Him and to us. It's just, it works. It's just like plugging in the heater, you know, it works. And so I'm thankful for that. Sometimes, I think I've mentioned this many times, but I don't play the piano well anymore at my age, and I don't sing very pretty anymore. But I can go in at 2 or 3 in the morning and begin to sing any kind of song. Jesus, there's something about that name. And I usually say it, there's something about your name to the Lord. And I mean,
it's breakthrough. I mean, it's just there, and then just miracles happen all the way around. And it's wonderful living for God, and it's just He's there. He wants to be everything. Well, He is everything we need, but He wants us to connect with that. In any other relationship, you know, if I could love you and you tell me you love me, and we love Wild Bill, but if we never did talk to each other, we never did spend time with each other. You have sent me on my birthday or Mother's Day a card. I have them everywhere. And those words, because they were done with love and prayer, I can just go to them anytime and feel the presence of God and feel the love. That, you know, this is a very real thing. And it's wonderful. And I don't want to fail the Lord. And I'm thankful for you and Wild Bill to take your time. I know Wild Bill, that it's a struggle with all the types of places he has to be at this particular time to be on the program. And then you're working probably 16 hours a day. And I can almost tell, though, when you're praying for me, Sister Starla, because right out of the blue, I get to think, getting happy, and I think, oh, Sister Starla's praying for me. And God does that. He puts two together. It just doesn't have to be just two agree. It's touching anything, it shall be done. What are we agreeing with? Not just each other. We're agreeing with God. We're agreeing with His word. And we're worshiping. When we do that, we are worshiping God. And I love the running and everything else, but I'm getting a little old for that. But I can do it in other ways. And it works. And a smile, a spiritual smile, it will just break down walls, barriers between people. They feel almost relieved that somewhere they can turn, that somebody's not angry and are about to be angry. And that doesn't seem like much, but it works. And you pray for people that are in a situation in a store. We had another big blow up at one of the stores. I don't want to advertise that much, but the police were there and people were really frightened. It's frightening. There's so much anger, anxiety, and drugs and different things. But in the midst of that, we've got the Almighty God, creator of the world, living within us, Christ in us, our hope of glory. And it's just every scripture just gets deeper and richer and more beautiful and more exciting. And I think that I'm going back through the Bible since the first of the year. And I was reading, in that particular situation, I was listening to the Bible, the King James. And I thought, I don't ever remember reading that. I've only been reading the Bible 60 years. But it was just like new wine or something. It was really great. And so I really recommend, because sometimes we don't go back and really read through or listen to the Bible. And we listen to a lot of things, a lot of preaching and whatever, but the Bible has a power in it. And back to 119 in Psalms, how can we cleanse our way? By taking heed to the word of God. And it'll just speak to you. And you say, well, I don't want to be cleaned up. Well, back to the saying, you can join the army, but you're still going to have boot camp. You know, you're going to be born again. You're not working your way to heaven, but you're going to obey the word of God because you are born again. And you're going to, achieve desires, and you learn the callings that God has for us. And we listen. We have ears to hear. And I love the book of Revelation. I don't get into a lot of the different symbolism, but some of it's pretty easy. And then one where we overcome, and there's about 8 or 9 verses about overcoming, to he that overcomes. And we overcome by the blood of the Lamb of God and the word of our testimony. And I believe that testimony is when we worship, we shout, we go to church, we lift up the name of God, that's our testimony. I mean, it's not stale, it don't stink, it is bright, fresh, and ready to share. And it has an effect because it's salt and light. Okay, I'm repeating myself, I'm sure, but I hope Wild Bill is here. If not, I want to hear Sister Starla.
No, he probably won't be able to call in.
When you were visiting, everyone just was so blessed by you, Sister Starla, and you visited our church. And I've heard so many people share how, well, you spoke to them and greeted them, and it was really, I was so thrilled just to be able to share you with them and them with you. The whole thing was wonderful. Okay, I will. I promise to be quiet a minute.
I don't need you to be quiet. You can just continue sharing, and so you're all shared out.
Yeah, well, I am. It was, I don't know. It was pretty much that minister. I mean, he gets to the point and is top of the line. I really, really enjoy anything about their church, and they have some of the best music that I've ever heard. Our church is, it is so united that everything they do. I've never, people don't talk about it or criticize, or like he was saying about people wanting to judge what a minister spends or something. Brother Beckton said he drove a car that was sort of simple. It was a nice car, but it was, you know, not expensive at all. And he made a real cute remark. He said, now I go by my car, they say, oh, there goes my pastor. But if I had, you know, some really expensive car, they'd say, there goes my tithes. And I thought when he said that, it was so funny, because it's not our tithes. But once we, you know, it's God's. And when he calls somebody, then, and music changes in every generation. So there are things. Now, the only thing that I do complain about a little bit, and it's not like an ugly complaining, but I get cold and air conditioning, and they'll see me all, you know, shrugged up. And this prayer meeting, I don't know where they got this blanket, but it was wonderful. They just came, draped it around my shoulders, and I was very happy. So, you know, I wasn't complaining, though, but I couldn't be brave enough to just not show it, I think. But we had a wonderful, wonderful prayer meeting.
I can testify, it is a little chilly in there, but it has quite a spirit, and the music is awesome.
It is
chilly.
And our outreach is just so wonderful, our bus route. And the 6 o'clock recovery class, too, where people, they just need that. If they come into a church, they're wanting to live for God, and they immediately feel like that. And, you know, sometimes people will almost innocently, I don't think they're really meaning to be critical of newcomers and new, but you know, they got feelings. And so you have to love them and allow the Lord to do the work, and he will. And it always has so many. See the Holy Ghost, and their lives, it's just beautiful. And so we're all fired up at our church for this to be. Our theme this year is unmovable. Be unmovable. Now, what does that mean? It doesn't mean to be a hard head or an old grunch or something. It just means that I'm not going to get upset. I'm not going to stop worshiping. I'm unmovable. I'm called to do what God called me to do, and I'm going to do it by the grace and the mercy and the love of God. And the testimonies that followed were so beautiful that people are moving ahead. And even at my age, at 83, the Lord, I sometimes have a tendency to want to use it as an excuse. Not that I'm trying to get out of doing something, but, you know, it's not as easy. So I think, well, hey, you're 83. That doesn't have anything to do with it. If God calls you to do something, if there's a need, you can do it. And then how many times it'd be a widow, the oil, you know, and their oil never ran out again. Gave the last little bit they had to the prophet. So, you know, you just trust God, love God, be unmovable in anger and all of that. Just don't go that way. And you know, I have several people that will call me and share with me what they saw or heard on the news. I don't want to know. And that doesn't mean I don't want to be a good citizen, but I do not want to hear that. Things that I just don't. Now, if somebody calls me with a prayer, we pray, you know, but the minister tonight brought that out, that you can really go the wrong way if you it can even bring sickness to your body, anxiety and stress to you. And I don't know why they seem to bring out so many negative things. Sure, there's a few nice things at the news commission, but I guess that wasn't nice to me either, was it? Pray for them and pray for our country and what God's called us to pray for our neighbors, pray for ourselves, pray for our family. To intercede, he said he looked for someone to stand in the gap to make it find anybody. But, Lord, you're going to find it now because we're going to do it. We're going to worship you. And don't you know that it blesses the heart of God when we will actually worship him? Who in the framework of creation deserves to be worshiped than him? What more could he have done? And I do so thank him for every day. I have almost a ritual of things in the morning that I praise him for. So thankful for him, and I won't tell you what they are. But just be able to, at my age, get up and walk across the room. Wonderful. So anyway, it's time for me to hush. I love y'all and thank you very, very much for the program tonight.
Well, thank you so much, Blog Talk Mom, and we appreciate what you share with us every week. And we want to thank our listeners for being with us, and we pray that you have a very blessed week, and we'll see you back here next week at your place. Good night.